4 weeks, that's how long until what's arguably been the most contentious presidential election season in American history will be decided. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have less than 30 days to rally their bases and sway undecided voters into their ranks. Michigan is a key battleground for both campaigns. Yesterday, Hillary Clinton visited Detroit, and one of her most popular surrogates is also touring the state this week. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker was in Ypsilanti last night for a voter registration rally. Today, he's visiting Michigan State University here in East Lansing for the same purpose. Mr. Booker served 7 years as the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, before being elected to the U.S. Senate in 2013. He joins us now by phone. Senator Booker, welcome to Michigan. Welcome to Current State.
It is so great to be back to Michigan. Thank you for having me on. And this is my ancestral home. My grandfather worked in the Willow Run bomber plant there in Ypsilanti, and my mom in Detroit. So it's just good to be back in this great state.
So you went east, young man. Is that it?
I did, exactly.
You're traveling in Michigan with two of your Democratic colleagues, our own senators, Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters. You were at Eastern Michigan University last night for a Get Out the Vote event. How were you received? How do you describe the Democrats that you're talking to?
Well, I tell you, I got such a reception, I almost felt like I was a home state senator. And if it wasn't for the fact that you guys have two amazing ones, or it's two of my close friends and mentors in the Senate, I might have asked them if I could stay a little longer. It's such a special community, and the enthusiasm for Secretary Clinton and Tim Kaine is beyond what I thought it was. I didn't expect to find a packed room rally with so many people so enthusiastic. And then we went to a University of Michigan late night. And had a full room of folks until past 11, almost midnight, talking about the issue. So it's been an incredible start so far to the day.
I don't mean to take any focus all off of Hillary's efforts here in Michigan, but so much of the news these days is generated from the Trump campaign, and I want to ask you about something that broke yesterday involving him. House Speaker Paul Ryan, who had been reluctant to endorse Donald Trump, now says he'll no longer defend him, and that he'll focus his attention on preserving the GOP's seats in the House. We've never seen this type of statement from a U.S. House Speaker before. How do you interpret that?
Well, I don't think it's anything new, and people need to remember that before this moment, Paul Ryan, when Donald Trump insulted and really demeaned and degraded a U.S. federal judge who happened, born in Indiana, that happened to have Mexican parents, And Paul Ryan was surprised me. He stood up and said that is textbook racism. And so here is Paul Ryan and many other Republicans who had to constantly try to explain or defend or get voters to look beyond these constant demeaning and degrading statements. I think I think a lot of folks are now saying I've had all I can stand and I can't stand anymore. And I have great colleagues in the Senate on both sides of the aisle, and I went to Washington not to be a New Jersey's Democratic senator, but to be all of New Jersey's senator. So I made a point to develop for friendships and relationships across the aisle. And when my friends like Ben Sasse or Jeff Flake just find it really deplorable what Donald Trump is saying and meaning and degrading and have turned away from him, there's never been a candidate in any either party in my lifetime that has had such defections from them, not based on policy, not based on issues, but based on fitness and character. And I think it should say something to the electorate.
We do want to clarify, Ryan did not withdraw his endorsement of Trump. He just basically is saying he's on his own now. Another newsworthy item that doesn't affect Donald Trump directly. Yesterday, the Trump Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City, in your home state, closed its doors. It was recently operated by Carl Icahn, not Donald Trump. Still, the Trump name is associated with it, and about 3,000 jobs have been lost there in your state. How big an impact does this have in New Jersey?
It is a brutal impact, and please understand, this casino, you're correct, was being run by Carl Icahn. It was Carl Icahn's decision, not Donald Trump's. But we who are in New Jersey remember when Donald Trump did run casinos there and left a wake of economic devastation behind him, not paying contractors, stiffing small businesses, and eventually running his one casino into the ground while others around him thrive, and then walking out and claiming Atlantic City was good to me. I brought out millions of dollars from Atlantic City. Well, he may have gotten rich, but he hurt other people, And that's the unfortunate thing. People aren't understanding how his business success happened. I mean, he became a wealthy man by hurting Americans. In fact, at times, with all of his products, from his ties to his suits, they're made in other countries. He's not even making them here, which is a choice business people can make. And there are lots of American manufacturers who could have done his products, could have created American jobs. So here's somebody who's trying to create this aura of a great business person. But if you look at his business practices, they've left a lot of pain, a lot of hurt around places. In Atlantic City, Republicans and Democrats, we have a Republican mayor in Atlantic City, people have very bitter feelings towards Donald Trump.
We're talking with Democratic U.S. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. He's been in Michigan since yesterday, stumping for Hillary Clinton, and today he's attending a voter registration rally at the Student Union here at Michigan State University. Many Americans have said they do not trust Hillary Clinton, especially after the email and server controversies. How have you personally come to terms with those destructive allegations against your candidate?
Well, you know, for me, it's not been hard in the sense that I know she made mistakes and she owned up to them. I know that she's been investigated by Congress in ways that no other person did. We had more investigations over the emails and Benghazi than there were under the 9/11 attacks and the like. She's been investigated by Congress, multiple hearings, millions and millions of dollars led by Republicans. She's been investigated by the FBI. No criminal charges have been filed. That's why it's so destructive the way that the Trump campaign is characterizing her. I heard in the debate that Donald Trump said, if I was a president, you'd be in jail. Well, that's what third world dictators do to their political enemies, their judge, jury, and executioner. We have process in this country, and Hillary Clinton, trust me, she has been through the ringer on both of these things, more so than others, and she's come out with no criminal charges, no ethics charges. And so she made a mistake. She owned up to it. But that does not in any way, and we all have made them, take away from the totality of her career, her preparation, her training. When I'm in the Senate and I have senior Senate Republicans telling me that when she was a senator, she was one of those people that worked across the aisle, did bipartisan bills, got things passed. When she was Secretary of State, you had people like John McCain praising her as a Secretary of State before she declared that she was running for president. So here's somebody who has a record of working across the aisle, bringing people together, and actually getting things done. So I know that none of us have spotless careers. I have made mistakes, public mistakes, things I regret. But the reality is we are all mountain ranges. We have peaks and valleys. Secretary Clinton is a beautiful mountain range of many peaks of a success. She's prepared and qualified and ready to be president of the United States.
What are you saying to former Sanders supporters who are still kind of might be hurting over their what happened to their guy?
Well, I just say if you're a person that believes in social justice, if you're a person that is striving to defend and fight for the marginalized in this country, I spent my entire career up until the last 3 years in the Senate working full-time in an American inner city, fighting for rights and justice and equality. If you care about these issues, don't fall into the full sense of privilege that says, oh, I don't really know who I'm going to vote for. When it comes to this election, the outcome of this election is going to affect the lives, and even in many cases, life or death for so many Americans living on the margin. The outcome of this election is going to determine whether people have health insurance or not. Donald Trump wants to throw out Obamacare, which immediately kids with diabetes who before were being denied health coverage because of pre-existing conditions. The outcome of this election is going to determine whether children who know no other country but ours, since they were only a few months old, grew up in this country, whether they're deported vaccinations they don't know or even speak the language to. The outcome of this election is going to determine whether people living in poverty are going to have security and opportunity in this country.
This election season,
millions of Americans. And so if you're a Sanders supporter, don't vote for yourself. Vote for those people who are struggling for justice in America.
This election season has soured many would-be voters who are just disgusted with the rhetoric, the negativity, and candidly, both of the candidates. It may be easier to drift into apathy at this point and not even bother to vote. I've spoken to a handful of people who have said just that. How do you keep people believing in the process in these circumstances?
We are Americans, and we don't surrender to cynicism about our political system, and it is ours. Cynicism is a refuge for cowards. If you don't like what's going on, the answer is not to engage, it's to get disengage. It's to engage more. Right now, what's happening to our political system is unacceptable. Your vote is your statement against it. Now, what has brought this into the gutter? I've watched many Republican primaries before, and they've all been about issues and ideas. Since I was a kid, watching Ronald Reagan debates in their primaries, what was the new factor in the primary that suddenly had Republican primaries talking about male genitalia? It was Donald Trump. I've watched now general election debates my entire career, my entire life as a kid, watching beautiful debates, talking about issues and ideas. What has been that brought this into the gutter, talking about demeaning, degrading comments about women? It's Donald Trump. He has changed the national conversation. Not Jeb Bush, not Marco Rubio, not Chris Christie, not Hillary Clinton, not Bernie Sanders. It's been Donald Trump that has trashed our national conversation and our political debates. We need to reject that. And all of us, Republican and Democrats, need to make a statement about who we are as a country and what we stand for. We do not want in the White House where every single week we have the president of the United States saying something that we all are going to be embarrassed of. Every week in this election, whether it's Muslims, Latinos, women, whether it's saying punch people at rallies, every week we have seen something that Donald Trump that does not reflect the better angels of America. We cannot have that in the White House. We need to reject that. All Americans need to unite and say, you know what? This is not about right or left. This is about moving our country forward or back into the darker ages where this kind of thing was given far more license by the lesser folks, the demagogues of old.
New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker is our guest here on WKAR's Current State. He is appearing at Michigan State University later this afternoon at a Get Out the Vote rally. Today is the voter registration deadline here in Michigan. You've got a mission, I guess, and that's to get people registered.
Yeah, it's absolutely, this is not a spectator sport. You can't sit on the sidelines and just cheer or hope for your team. You got to get on the field. You've got to be in the arena. You've got to be participating and engaging. It's a sad thing as I travel around the globe to see people in Afghanistan or India who, often risk their lives just going to vote, see that this democracy is one of the greatest gifts given to the planet Earth, and America has played a massive role in that. And for us not to participate, it's an insult to our ancestry, to the people that defend our rights and freedoms abroad. Please take responsibility, especially in this election, which is going to make a difference for everything from the presidency to the Supreme Court. Let your voice be heard.
We have just a couple of seconds, Senator Booker. You said back in July that you have no interest in running for governor of New Jersey once Chris Christie leaves office. Is that still the case?
That is still the case. I'm not running for governor. I love the Senate. I love Debbie Stabenow, Gary Peters. I want to work with them to get great things done.
Would you join a Clinton cabinet if she were successful?
You know, I actually love Secretary Clinton. I talked to Tim Scott earlier this morning. I talked to Tim Kaine earlier this morning about partnering on an agenda to make change in America. I can serve this country best for the United States Senate. I know she's going to have, should she win, she's going to have a phenomenal cabinet, but I don't have any interest in being a part of that.
We've been talking about the Hillary Clinton ground game here in Michigan and the Democratic Party's Get Out the Vote effort and about this year's election. Cory Booker is the junior U.S. Senator from New Jersey. He's traveling through Michigan this week. He's in East Lansing this afternoon. The deadline to register for the election is today. Senator Booker, a pleasure talking with you.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You are.